It's the book club for kids.
The book club for kids.
It's the book club for kids.
It's the book club for kids podcast.
Hi, I'm Kitty Faldi. People make assumptions about what it's like to live in our nation's capital.
Just because we live in D.C., it's not like we're going to see, like, secret agents walking around, and it's not like we're going to know.
That's one of our readers from Key Elementary. The kids are discussing the novel Spy Kids.
Hello, Ben, said the man in my living room. My name is Alexander Hill. I work for the CIA. And just like that, my life became interesting.
That's our celebrity reader, a man whose job description includes overseeing the CIA, California Congressman Eric Swalwell. And writer Stuart Gibbs tells us where the idea for his Spy Kids series came from.
There was something funny about the idea of combining everything you hated about school and everything you hated about the government in one institution.
This is the Book Club for Kids, the podcast where kids talk about books. We'll tell you how you can be on the show a little later on, but first, let's meet our readers.
Hi, my name is Natalie.
I'm Grace.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jack.
I'm Kieran.
I'm Amelia, and we're all fifth graders at Key Elementary School, located in Washington, D.C.
The book is about a boy called Ben, who is selected to go to a top-secret government spy school, basically.
For the CIA.
Ben is, he's really smart and good at math.
He was selected for his, cryptography skills, but he doesn't actually have them. His file says he has really good, decoding skills. Like, he really doesn't. The CIA agents, some of them falsely put information in.
The only reason they recruited Ben is because they want to catch this mole, and he's kind of like the bait, and so they put false information in his file so that the mole would see this, and he would be like, "Ooh, I want to get this guy."
So on his first week, somebody comes, an assassin comes into his room and is like, he's like, "What's the pinwheel?" And Ben didn't know that he was here because of he wasn't actually qualified to be a spy. So he was like, "I don't know." And then he hit him with a tennis racket.
Ben is very amazing at math. So even though he has fake skills in his file, he has his own skills that are possibly even more important.
He runs into Erica Hale, leading all the way back to Nathan Hale, who spied for the Revolutionary War. She's a very good spy. She's not very social. She usually stays hidden behind books, like spy study books, so she can get smarter and smarter, even though she already is.
At spy school, there are 6 years, and once you are recruited there, it's basically like normal school with all the classes, just the classes aren't the same as in, normal school. It's, how to, hide or what. There's classes like how to be a double agent, how to, camouflage and whatever.
PE would basically be how survival skills, and history would be the history of spies. It's like a normal school with a spy twist put on it.
When Ben first goes to spy school, he's expecting all the classes to be really cool and interesting, but then when he actually takes his first class, he finds out that it's just as boring as normal school.
Is school boring for you guys?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of the classes are interesting, but sometimes it can get boring. A lot of times, what they are teaching, our teachers are teaching us is interesting, but it can be taught in such a way that it sort of takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah. The most boring part about school is probably almost everything, in my opinion. But it's just, I feel accomplished when I finish the work. It just feels everything off my chest. I'm like, just relax now.
There's not really a very interesting way to teach math.
In our school, what happens is
if you don't complete work in class, you have to have it as homework. So sort of when I complete, like, all my, like, my final assignment, I'm so sure I'm not going to make it, and then I just put the last period down, I feel so happy. I just lean back and say, yes, I did it.
Let's talk a little bit about Stuart Gibbs' writing style. How would you describe it?
Like, at certain times, he's very descriptive, and it gives you, like, a really good picture of what's going on. And sometimes he's not very descriptive, which is also kind of good because then you get to kind of imagine what it looks like.
I feel like Stuart Gibbs' style is sort of, he likes humor. It's humorous at parts, and it's funny, and it's relatable. That's definitely a word I would use to describe at least Ben.
Well, what makes it relatable?
It's not from the point of, like the point of view from as, like, a first-class spy or something. I feel like if it was from Erica's point of view, it wouldn't be quite as relatable because not everyone's a world-class spy, you know? And he's just a normal kid that comes home from school and is, like, told, hey, you're going to be a spy now. We're going to take you to this random school. Have fun.
Let's hear that first scene in the book. Our reader is California Congressman Eric Swalwell. He serves on the House Intelligence Committee and is the ranking member of the CIA subcommittee, which oversees the activities and budget of the CIA.
Hello, Ben, said the man in my living room. My name is Alexander Hale. I work for the CIA. And just like that, my life became interesting. It hadn't been up till then, not by a long shot. That day had been a prime example. Day 4,583, 7 months into the 12th year of my mundane existence. I had dragged myself out of bed, eaten breakfast, gone to middle school, been bored in class, stared at girls I was too embarrassed to approach, had lunch, slogged through gym, fallen asleep in math, been harassed by Dirk the Jerk, taken the bus home, and found a man in a tuxedo sitting on the couch. I didn't doubt he was a spy for a second. Alexander Hale looked exactly like I had imagined a spy would. A tiny bit older, perhaps. He seemed about 50, but still suave and debonair. He had a small scar on his chin, from a bullet, I guessed, or maybe something more exotic, like a crossbow. There was something very James Bond about him. I could imagine he'd been in a car chase on the way over and taken out the bad guys without breaking a sweat. My parents weren't home. They never were when I got back from school. Alexander had obviously let himself in. The photo album from our family vacation to Virginia Beach sat open on the coffee table before him. Am I in trouble? I asked. Alexander laughed. For what? You've never done anything wrong in your life, unless you count the time you spiked Dirk Dennett's Pepsi with Exlax. And frankly, that kid was asking for it. My eyes widened in surprise. How did you know that? I'm a spy. It's my job to know things. Do you have anything to drink? Sure. My mind quickly cataloged every beverage in the house. Although I had no idea what this man was doing there, I found myself desperately wanting to impress him. My folks have all kinds of stuff. What would you like? A martini? Alexander laughed again. This isn't the movies, kid. I'm on the clock. I blushed, feeling foolish. Oh, right. Water? I was thinking more like an energy drink. Something with electrolytes. Just in case I need to leap into action. I had to ditch some undesirables on my way over here. Undesirables, I tried to sound cool, as though I discussed things like this every day. What sort of... I'm afraid that information is classified. Of course, that makes sense. Gatorade? That'd be grand. I headed to the kitchen. Alexander followed. The agency has had its eye on you for some time.
Do you think there maybe is a secret spy school hidden someplace around Washington, D.C.?
I don't think in Washington, D.C., because, like, it said it was within 5 miles from, like, the Pentagon. And, like, I think that would be pretty noticeable.
I think that it does not exist because at some point someone has had to stumble across it and seen, like, a sign that says, like, keep out, no trespassing, government facility, and been kind of wondering what was up and done some research, figured it out, and shared it online or something. So
I think if there was a secret actual spy school, it'd probably be not somewhere really noticeable. I'd probably be like right like in the middle of nowhere.
I always wonder about that with books like this. And for this one, I think that like it, I think there probably could be, because like no one would really notice just kind of an old science school. Like,
I don't think it's very possible because there's a book about it, and that's a bit obvious. Like, and Stuart Gibbs probably wouldn't know about a real spy school also.
Would you like to perhaps be a spy yourself?
I probably would not. I mean, I'd be fine with, like, doing the investigating and stuff, but I wouldn't actually want to be involved in the action, because some people think that's really cool, but if I just think about it, like, in real life, that's pretty dangerous, and you have a pretty good chance of dying.
Being a spy would be kind of cool in some ways, but it would also include, like, having a lot of secrets, because, like, you can't let your family know where you are, like, in a lot of parts of the book. So his friend was like, hey, how's your lame science school going? And he really just wanted to say, actually, I'm going to a spy school.
I kind of like Murray's idea of just having a desk job, because, like, his reasoning sounds really great. Like, you get to retire early and you just kind of get to chill all the time.
I also wouldn't want to sacrifice my family and my friends, because in a way, it, no matter how hard you try, it will bring you further apart from those you love, because you have to keep a huge secret from them. You can never tell them. You can't spend time with them as much as you would like to, because you're always like doing some insane things for the CIA. But I would do it, because I think it would be a great opportunity, and it would be a really fun adventure. And I've always, from reading a lot of books, I've always wanted to find some sort of adventure worthy of a real book.
Except when people try and kill you. I have two words for this. Absolutely not. Apparently, you have to have a weapon on you at all times, and I'd probably shoot my foot off.
Being a spy would be the most awesome thing in the world. I would love to be a spy. I really want, like, one of those cool adventures.
You guys live in a part of the world where probably a lot of people work for Secret Service or the FBI or the CIA or, you know, some other secret organization we don't even know about.
You could be an undercover cop.
Yeah. I could be an undercover person. You don't know. Does that make this an exciting place to live, or kind of a creepy place to live?
Well, I mean, it's exciting, but at the same time, it's kind of not, because if you're always walking around and you're always thinking that anyone could be a spy, then really anyone could be a spy, and that's not as exciting.
When people think of D.C., they think of Secret Service and the president, and, like, when I go on vacation, the first question I usually ask is, have you ever met the president? I'm like, no, I don't live right near the White House. I live in a normal neighborhood, normal stores. It's very normal.
Just because we live in D.C., it's not like we're going to see, like, secret agents walking around, and it's not like we're going to know a spy. It's kind of cool. It's kind of creepy, but it's not really that different.
I wasn't surprised at all when I saw a Secret Service man buying a milkshake next to me. It's just like an everyday way of life.
Sounds like a good time to check in with writer Stuart Gibbs. First of all, Stuart, where'd the idea for Spy School come from?
There was something funny about the idea of combining everything you hated about school and everything you hated about the government in one institution. I kind of thought, like, well, if you took everything you hated about school and then said, oh, and on top of that, occasionally somebody tries to kill you, it doesn't sound so good.
I always think of you as a California kind of guy, but you have an early connection to D.C., right?
From age 5 to 7, I lived just north of the city. My father, he worked at Walter Reed. And so I did see all the great places in D.C. This is a great city to be a kid in, because everything's free and your parents can take you pretty much whenever you want. And so I knew a lot of these places. And I think you get a little spoiled growing up here, because you're like, oh, yeah, all zoos have pandas and don't cost anything. Or you can always just walk right into the Natural History Museum. So I did know some of this. But even when I thought, well, there's going to be a spy school, it just seemed like this is where all the spy stuff is. I mean, the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and everybody, they're all here. So it just seemed like this made sense that you would have your spy school here. There's a scene inside the Washington Monument That is based upon the fact that at some point in my life, I was here on vacation. And this was not when I was a kid. I was an adult. And I went to the Washington Monument. I was the first person in the morning with a bunch of other people. This is before you had to get tickets ahead of time, whatever. And we went up to the top. And then the guy, the ranger, said, okay, who wants to walk down? And I said, oh, me. I want to walk down. And so he let me walk down through the Washington Monument. And I saw what it was like inside the Washington Monument. And then years later, I was already working on this scene for Spy School, and I went to the Washington Monument with my family, and I said to the ranger, can we walk down? And he said, no one's ever been allowed to walk down. And I said, no, that's not true. I've walked down. He said, that is, no, there's no way. We've never let anybody walk down ever. And I thought, well, but I did it. So how did that even happen? So I have walked down inside the Washington Monument. I think my institutional memory is older than that park ranger's. So, but yeah, so you have these experiences and you build books around them at some point and say like, okay, I know what the inside of the Washington Monument looks like, so I'm gonna do a scene there.
Well, have you ever heard from anybody either at the CIA or the NSA or any of the other intelligence agencies in this city since the books come out?
No, it's actually a little annoying to me because I really want somebody to reach out. I don't want them to reach out in a bad way and be like, hey, you have to stop this. But I think that they would have a sense of humor about it, and I would think somebody might want to actually say, because my bet is honestly that they're going to say, you know what, it's even crazier than you can possibly imagine, and let me share some stories with you. But nobody has done that.
Well, and nobody, maybe the fact that they haven't contacted you is verification that there actually is a spy school someplace.
That might be. I never thought about that. That's probably it.
Well, we couldn't just leave it at that. So we asked our celebrity reader, Eric Swalwell, who keeps a congressional eye on the CIA, point blank, is there a real spy school for kids?
Well, let me tell you all about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of dead air. Nothing.
And I suppose a lot of the people listening will want to know if, let's say, such a school existed, how one might prepare oneself for that phone call.
You know, as they say in the business, I can neither confirm nor deny how one should prepare themselves.
Okay, we asked him one question he was willing to answer. The question we ask everyone on the show, what's your favorite book?
I enjoyed, as a kid, reading the Encyclopedia Brown series. It was, really entertaining to follow, but also it always made you, kind of follow different clues and try and sort out a mystery. I later went on to be a prosecutor, and I found that it was that same search for the truth during reading those books that I would undertake in the courtroom. And so it's funny that when I was 7, 8 years old, I was reading those books, and then later in my career, I'd be trying to unravel mysteries in crime in the courtroom to help victims.
And how about you guys at Key Elementary? What's your favorite book?
Well, my favorite book is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, but I really enjoyed reading The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. In Harry Potter, there's a lot of excitement, but it's not just one plot, the whole thing. There are different things going on. You really have to look closely and read carefully. And The Fault in Our Stars, I just really, the story really speaks to every person who reads it.
My favorite series, I'm going to say the Divergent series right now, especially the first one. Without there being a problem, the book is still really good.
But I think one of my favorite books is Out of My Mind.
Another one of our book club episodes, which we'll have a link to on our website.
You can't really relate to it because the main character is kind of different for most people, but it kind of lets you see into the life of someone like that, someone different, and I just really like that because I think it's really cool.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and a not quite as well-known book, but it's called Cartwheeling in Thunderstorms. I felt like it was just beautiful. It just sort of very poetic in a way and sweet.
I'm going to have to go with the Hunger Games series. I like it because it's like survival, I'm into that kind of stuff. It's a real page turner. It's just a great book, and I couldn't stop reading it until I finished it.
My favorite is Scorpio Rising, one of the Alex Rider books, and I liked it a lot because It was the last book and explained a lot of unanswered questions, and it had a lot of action, which I love.
One I really like is When You Reach Me. It's by Rebecca Stead, and it's really good. I like how it's really mysterious. I thought I wasn't going to like it. Someone recommended it to me, but it was really fun. It was like a mystery book, and it was really descriptive. I really liked it.
What about you, Stuart Gibbs?
One of my favorite books of all time has to be The Westing Game by Ellen Raskin. It is, I still think, one of the greatest mysteries ever written, if not the greatest mystery, even though it's written for kids. It's still fantastic for adults to read. But I remember reading it the very first time when I was in fourth or fifth grade and just being blown away by this book. There are so many characters in it. There are dozens of characters, and yet Ellen draws them all so well that you can keep track of everyone, and yet you don't know who the bad guy is. You don't know which of these people you can trust, or who's hiding something, or what they're hiding. And then there's just one great reveal after another in this book. It's just incredible. And I remember it reading it so well as a kid, and I've read it again and again and again throughout my life. And each time I've read it, I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
We'll have a list of everybody's favorite books at our website, bookclubforkids.org. By the way, Westing Game is coming up on a future book club episode. And if you have a favorite book and you want to be on the Book Club for Kids podcast, just have your teacher, your parent, or your school librarian send us an email, and we will send out the very easy instructions. Just send us an email to kitty@bookclubforkids.org. That's kitty@bookclubforkids.org. And speaking of books, if you want to get your own copy of Spy Kids or any of the other books you heard about on the show, just go to the website, bookclubforkids.org. You will find a link to order books right there from our friends at Hooray for Books in Alexandria. And a portion of your purchase of books or any of the fun lunch bags or anything else on our website helps to pay for the podcast. Book Club for Kids is also funded in part by the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities, an agency supported in part by the National Endowment for the Arts, and by listeners like you. Thanks this week to Jonathan Jensen, who composed and performed our music, and to Emma Steinkellner, who designed our logo. Thanks to our readers this week, Natalie, Grace, Charlotte, Alex, Jack, Kieran, and Amelia. And thanks to Curry Renwick and Julie Hayes at Key Elementary. We have a free newsletter for teachers, parents, and librarians full of free tips about how to turn kids into lifelong readers. You can sign up at the website, bookclubforkids.org. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, even Pinterest. And if you are an iTunes person, please take a moment and leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm Kitty Feldy. Thanks again for listening.